MashaAllah, Sheikh Yaver is blessed with the ability to speak 5 languages, and this has helped him to instill leadership fundamentals amongst many an organization. Sheikh Yaver Beg, as he prefers to say, is a student of Islamic studies and is a much sought after speaker at Islamic events. He is also widely respected for the many well-researched and informative public talks which he delivers on a wide range of subjects such as Islam and science, social etiquette of a Muslim, and other matters of spirituality. A personality who values competence, openness, and value-based professionalism, our respected speaker and guest this evening works as a life coach and mentor of prominent family businesses in India and South Africa. His unique style of lectures, where he injects Islamic doctrine into key areas of corporate management and blends Eastern values with Western systems, has been lauded and appreciated by many national and global organizations and audiences who have been fortunate to listen to him. We are indeed happy to note that a growing number of local-based companies have also sought his services and, alhamdulillah, benefited from his training sessions. Without any further delay, it is my honor and privilege to call upon our respected guest to speak to you on the subject, the purpose of life. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala al-anbiya'i wal-mursaleen. وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, my dear respected elders and brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Purpose here today is not to lecture to you, but to remind myself, and in the process remind you that a day will come upon each one of us, without a doubt. A day will come upon each one of us, about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين. Allah said a day will come when the breath will be stuck in the throat. إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومُ. The breath will be stuck in the throat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and on that day you will be standing there looking on. فَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذِنْ تَنْظُرُونَ. SubhanAllah, this is a time, this is a day, and this is an event that many of us have seen for ourselves. We have been in the presence of people in their last moments of their lives, when they were struggling for breath, when they were no longer aware of who was around them, when they were no longer concerned about the very people for whom they dedicated their lives. At that point in time, they did not know that those people were with them. Those same people who would probably have been, would have liked to do whatever they can do to help them, are completely helpless. وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. Allah says, you are standing there and watching. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us His word of hope. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Allah says, but we are close to them. You do not see us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bayan of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges those who stand today in opposite ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, "Tarjiunaha in kuntum sadiqin." Allah says, "You are so powerful, then return that breath. You think you are so powerful, then return that breath. Give them the life back." The malak mouth in the life, remove money from them, that button. Allah mentioned this in another place in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned people who deny the resurrection, who deny one day we will be resurrected to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَرْوَ إِذَا ظَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ بَلْ هُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَيْكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. Allah said this, وَقَالُوا أَيْذَا ظَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. Is it possible that after we have died and we have become dust and we have become one with the soil and the earth, that we are going to be created anew? How much? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that question is a denial of the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In kufr, about
the meeting of the world, the denying the meeting of the earth. What is the universe? What is the meaning of the universe? What is the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks this Nabi to give to that people?
Whether you believe it, Malakul Mautil Ladhi Wukkila Bikum, Malakul has been set upon Ummaila Bikum Turjaun, and he will tell and he will bring you back to your Rabb. You will return to your Rabb. My brothers and elders, this day will come. We have seen this day come upon many who have gone before us. And that day will come upon you and it will come upon me. Allah knows best who will go first and Allah knows best who will go next. But we all, they will come when in this very masjid, inshaAllah, somebody will stand here and make an announcement and say that we just got information that Yawar Beg passed away. Make dua for him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned three kinds of people for that day. For that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned three kinds of azwajun salat.
فما إن كان من المقربين
may Allah take us among them
فروح وريحان وجنة نعيم وما إن كان من أصحاب اليمين فسلام لك من أصحاب اليمين وأما إن كان من المكذبين الضالين فنزل من حميم وتصلية جحيم إن هذا لهو حق اليقين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم.
Three kinds of people. Al-Muqarrabun. The people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-Sadiqun al-Awwalun. The people who are the earliest and the fastest to respond to Islam. And remember, Sadiqun al-Awwalun is not restricted only to the Sahaba. Because Allah said, Kullatun min al-Awwalin wa qalilun min al-Akhirin. So there are people in the Akhirin also. Not a lot of them, but some of them who will be joined with and who will be included among the Sadiqun al-Awwalun. And then the people are Sahabul Yameen, the people who will get their records in their right hands. And may Allah make all of us among Allah. And then those who denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Mukazzibeen wa Dhali. May Allah protect us from and keep us. Allahumma la ta'ajalna ma'alhum. And that is where the importance of and maqsad of creation of our being. That is the reason why this is so important, my brothers and elders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned two things about the reason why He created us. In one place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His reason created us as individuals. And in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned His creating this ummah, our collective reason for creating us as the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have not created or the so the individual purpose of creation is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and to do nothing but worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this ayah is with regard to all of mankind, it's not only for the Muslims. Allah created all of insan, for some do it, but we cannot worship for 24/7. Anything other than the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are not fulfilling this purpose. How can we worship for 24 hours of the day? We know. And it is either that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does us any hukum which is, it would be unfair. Give us an order, the order is impossible to complete or to obey. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said fly and he did not give us wings, then we cannot fly, how are we going to fly? See, Allah, I want to fly, but you know, I'm incapable of flying. So Allah does give us orders like this, which are impossible to obey. So when Allah said, where he said, innama al-a'malu bin, so what is ibadah? Ibadah is any action that is done with the and with the expectation of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I give some money in charity because I want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I ask please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wake up in the night and I pray from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are three other conditions which must be fulfilled as we all know. One which is intrinsic, for example, I want, but because people are non-Muslim, I decide to give them pork because I like to eat pork. You want to feed people, but you feed them stuff. You say, no, but they eat. They may eat, they may not eat. That's not your problem. It's not your job to them that. Similarly, therefore, the deed has to be in accordance with the sharia of Islam. Second, the intention of the deed has to be only and only for the pleasure of Allah. Al-ikhlas unniya. And what is the dalil for that? Allah said, Wa'il musallin. Allatihim sahun. They do the salah to people. Salah itself is according to sharia. Nobody can deny the sharia, that salah is not according to the sharia. But the intention, the niyyah of the salah is not to please Allah. The niyyah of the salah is to please the people, is to get a name with subhanAllah. What a beautiful recitation. Oh subhanAllah, what beautiful khushu. Look at this man, is standing in salah. Whenever he recites the Quran, he is crying. Oh mashallah, mashallah. If you are reciting the Quran and you are crying and this is spontaneous, this happened because of the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart, that's a different matter. You are crying to show that I have got this great khushu and this ta'alluq with them. This is shirk. This is riya. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said very clearly, he said, this is riya. To show people. So even though recitation of the Quran is intrinsically in itself, it's a good deed and worthy of, and we know all the hadith with regard to the amount for, you know, one, I won't tell you all those, you are aware of them, but my point is that even though the action in itself is good, but because the niyyah does not have ikhlas, that is not acceptable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third condition for a deed to be acceptable, first condition sharia, second condition niyyah, third condition is that the deed must be in accordance with the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we do a deed which is outside the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we do something which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do, he did not action, and we do that and we think that we are going to get reward from Allah, then this is a mistaken impression. It's not possible. It has to, the deed has to be in accordance with the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So alhamdulillah, if these three things are there, but how can we make our entire life, wake up in the morning, with what intention? With the intention to wake up for tahajjud inshallah. You go make wudu, you come and stand, you pray tahajjud. Deed to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Quran, wait for Salat al-Fajr, go to the masjid. Wait for Salat al-Fajr, pray Fajr. That this gives me strength in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to do the work of the deen, in order to look after my family and so on, all of which is part. And then you help your family in the house, and then you go to work. And when you go to work, you ensure that the kind of work you do is in line or not against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You work sincerely to please Allah to whom you are accountable, not because your boss is saying. You go and you work in a way and your whole intention is, I must present Islam to the people who are working with me. I'm working to please my boss. I'm working so that people will say, he is a Muslim, mashallah, my best employee is a Muslim. You want your employers to think and say, when I'm hiring, I would like, because they are the best people for me to work with. They are the most conscientious. They are the most quality conscious. They are the most sincere people. Because they don't fear me, they fear Rabbum, nothing is written. Whole day in work goes like that. Come back home. A house. Live in a beautiful manner with your family. Why? Because it pleases Allah. That not pleases Allah. Why do I smile at my wife? Because it pleases Allah. Why do I look to my children? Because it pleases Allah. Why am I respectful to my parents? Because it pleases Allah. Then, what do I do in the house? I help my family around the house. It is not against your masculinity and your role as the king of the house to go and help in the kitchen, believe me. Rasulullah did it. Rasulullah did it. There's a very beautiful story from the seerah where Rasulullah once was helping Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha to make some bread. So he was helping her make some bread. Now she put the bread on the fire and, you know, she was cooking the bread and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also cooking the bread. And after a while, she had cooked three or four of them and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not even cooked one. So she laughed and she said, "Ya Rasulullah, you don't know how to cook bread." Subhanallah, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Aisha, it is not that I don't know how to cook bread." He said, "The reality is that the fire will not touch that which the hand of Muhammad has touched." Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "That is why my bread does not cook." He said, "Not because I don't know how to cook bread." He says, "It is that the hand, that the fire will not touch something which the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam touched." Imagine the fire will not touch something which the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not touched. How can the fire touch something or someone who does the work of Nabuwwat sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the work of Dawah? Inshallah, this is our aqidah with regard to the work of Dawah. How can the fire touch someone who dedicates his life to do the work of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So you do that, you help in the house. And then what do? You sit with the house, with the children, and you do some ta'aleem. Read some Quran, read some tafsir, read some hadith, talk about the benefits of things. Talk about the seerah, talk about the sahaba, talk about the awliya Allah, talk about the good things of Islam with the children on a daily basis. I'm not talking about, you know, one day you do this. No, every single day. One, and make it fun, make it, you know, a time of good cheer, a time where children are interested to listen to the stories of the Anbiya, stories of the Sahaba. Which are better stories than that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrated Ahsanul Qasas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the story of Yusuf alayhi salam in the Quran. It is the best of stories. You spend time in that. Then you have your dinner. All the while when you are eating, you are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen." You are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have your dinner, you pray Isha, Salah. And then before you go to sleep, you make wudu, then you do the adhkar of the night, you read Surah Sajda, you read Surah Al-Mulk and so on and so forth. And then you go and you sleep, and when you sleep also, you sleep in the way Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sleep. Now 24 hours, even though you have been engaged in your work, in your family and everything else, 24 hours has been converted into the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. First part, individual life, how can I fulfill the maqsad of my creation? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned in addition to this, His maqsad for creating this ummah. Where in Surah Al-Imran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. For what? How? تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Allah said, you are the best of people. And you have been extracted and selected for the people. Allah did not say مِنَ النَّاسِ. Allah said لِلنَّاسِ. For the people. For whom? Allah did not say كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Allah did not say كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. No. Allah said أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. Who is Nas? Nas is the Muslim. Nas is the Hindu. He is the Buddhist. He is the Sikh. He is the Christian. He is the Jew. He is anybody. He is the atheist. The Muslim was created for him. To do what? تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. To enjoin that which is good. What is the number one of that which is good? Islam, Tawheed. To present to him Islam. Number one. What else is good? Everything which is beneficial for people is good. Education is al-maruf. Alleviating sickness is al-maruf. Alleviating poverty is al-maruf. Helping the oppressed is al-maruf. Freeing people from the burden of debt is al-maruf. Digging of wells, providing drinking water, providing housing, providing cleaning up the cities, preventing water and air pollution, all of these things which are beneficial to mankind are al-ma'ruf. Sometimes we make a very narrow interpretation of al-ma'ruf as haram and halal. So then we feel that our only job is to go around making fatwa. This is haram, this is halal. Haram, halal. La hawla la quwwata illa billah. This is not Islam. Haram and halal is ma'ruf. But it is not, that's not the only thing which is al-ma'ruf. If that is the only thing which is al-ma'ruf, then how to explain the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he said that if someone invokes my help under helpful fadol, today I will go and help him. How do you explain the action of none other than Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, who was in i'tikaf in Masjid al-Nabawi? A man came to him and he said, "Subhanallah, you are in i'tikaf." So he said, "What is wrong with that?" He said, "Nothing is wrong with that, but I came because I need your help very desperately in a particular matter. I need you to talk to someone. But you are sitting here in i'tikaf." Abdullah bin Umar said, "No problem, I'll come with you." He said, "You will break your i'tikaf?" He said, "Yes." He said, "How can you break your i'tikaf?" He said, "Because my Habib," who is his Habib? Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "My Habib said that this is superior to sitting in i'tikaf. So I will come with you." Who is a bigger alim than Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu? He is one of the people who was given the right to make fatwa in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time and in the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Maruf wa nahi anil munkar. What is al munkar? Number one munkar is shirk. One among the munkar is shirk. Inna shirka la zulmun azim. In addition to that, what else is munkar? Everything which is harmful to society is munkar. We tend to unfortunately view things today in a very narrow perspective, and that's a very detrimental and problematic thing for the Muslims. Today we talk about the hijab, and we say that in France they have banned the niqab, and so this is a zulm against the Muslim women. Yes? Of course it is. No doubt about this. But my question to you is very simple. My question to you is that today the body of the woman is used as a commodity to sell everything from biscuits and cookies and cakes to motorcycles to aeroplanes to cars to fashion to everything. Is this not al-munkar? Is it not your job to stop that? Is it not your job to say that we Muslims are against the oppression of women? Is it your job or not? Is it my job or not? Tell me. What do you think will happen if the Muslims today are known as people who stand for the upliftment of women, who are not just sitting, they will walk on the streets, they will go out in procession, they will file litigation, they will use every legal means of fighting against the oppression of women? What will be the image of Muslims? Who then will object if you say that our women have a right to dress the way they want? Think about that. But we view everything in a very narrow perspective. Since when did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell you and me that we are supposed to do nahi and al-munkar only with the Muslims? Where did we get this from? The Quran didn't say that. Allah didn't say that. Against al-munkar, all forms of oppression. What about the people, the downtrodden people? In my country, in India, we have the lower caste Hindus, the Dalits. They are treated worse than animals. But how many times have we seen the Muslims go out, hit the street and take out possession and make a public meeting and talk about oppression and say it is haram, it is not permitted, Allah has not permitted you to treat these people in this manner. When have we said that? Instead, I'm sitting in the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying it, come and I'll show it to you. We have places in my country where you go, when you enter a masjid, a Muslim, a lower caste Dalit Hindu who has converted to Islam, he is not permitted inside the masjid. He is not allowed to worship in the masjid. They say, go out. You are a lower caste. Which caste? Do we have caste in this religion? If we have caste in the religion, then what do we do with the hadith of the khutbatul wada of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, all divisions I crush beneath these feet of mine. And he said that an Arab is not superior to a non-Arab. And a red man, meaning the white men, are not superior to a black man. And a black man is not superior to a white man, except on the basis of taqwa, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, inna akramakum in taqakum. Where is that religion, my brothers? Where is that religion? What answer are you and I going to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us account for what we have done with the religion that he sent with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Amar bil maruf wa nahi anil munkar, a collective responsibility of this ummah, as a result of which wa tu'minuna billah. Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets taqwiyat, gets strength and becomes firm with amar bil maruf wa nahi anil munkar. Two responsibilities, both of them intrinsically linked. Personal responsibility, personal of creation for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ لِيَعْبُدُونَ حُقُوقَ. Collective reason for creation for the benefit of all of humanity. See the beauty of this deen of God. See the beauty of this deen of ours. Nothing is left incomplete. أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Nothing is left incomplete. Total completion. Individual responsibility. Collective responsibility. Why the individual responsibility first? Because from completing and fulfilling the individual responsibility to get the strength to the work of Amar bil Maruf and Nahy anil Munkar needs strength. Where do you get it from? From connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the methodology Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he said to him, Ya ayyuhal musallil layla isra'u wa minna awzita qatilil qur'an إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَأَطْعَمُ وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. The methodology of da'wah that Allah is teaching is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is saying, please get up, O one who's wrapped and sleeping, get up and stand in the night for the whole night, except for a little bit, or maybe half the night or something more. And do what? Recite for us our kalam. We have taught you the lesson. Sabak sunao. Show us what you have learned. Rattil Quran tartila. Recite the Quran in a beautiful manner. Sanulki alayka qawlan thaqila. Why do all this? Because there is a lot of work to be done. Very heavy word we are going to be sending to you. The ahkam of Islam. Very difficult task. That difficult task, to do it, you have to get the energy from the Rabbul Alameen. Look in your cell phone and charge it in the night. It will go dead in your hands in the morning. Allah says, this is the best thing for self-discipline and to understand the kalam of Allah. Inna nashiyata layli ashaddu wat'an wa aqwa muqila. See the beauty of this deen. Fulfilling the individual responsibility enables us to fulfill the collective responsibility. Internet share. Google is the most famous. Have you heard of Google? Damat Barkatum, you ever share Google? Huh? That's why we've got more muftis than normal people in the world today. Everybody is a mufti. Go tick 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 the Google, khala, fatwa, this is haram, this is whatever. No tarbiyah, no coming to the usul. The way it was taught by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the way it was taught by the ulama of this deen. We start with Bukhari, we do not know the name, the difference between Bukhar and Bukhari, and then we go to straight into Bukhari. Yeah? In Urdu, Bukhar means fever. He's got the Bukhar of Bukhari, he's got the fever. And we hear stories of the ulama of this deen who would not even touch the book of Bukhari without wudu. Now immediately they give a fatwa and say, where does it say that the wudu is required for touching Bukhari? My brothers, doing more than what is in the fatwa is a sign of taqwa. Taqwa is to do more than fatwa. And to have wudu to touch the Sahih Bukhari. Make wudu and you pray two rakah salah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala salatul haja to open your heart to the hadith, and then you have come up to that level first and so forth, and then you read Sahih Bukhari. Believe me, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do inkishaf of the kalam of his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be hugely different. Sitting without wudu in one state and reading some hadith in English, the computer. Alhamdulillah, one of the benefits is that the ilm of the deen has become even a very good thing. I am not against that. Alhamdulillah. You do not have to get one hadith, you do not have to do what Imam Bukhari did. You do not have to walk all the way from Bukhara to Baghdad. That's one side of the story. Alhamdulillah, it's easy. But the other side of easy is that we no longer have the value for it. I'm talking about generally, I'm not talking about you people. We do not have the value for this. So we don't talk about the usul hadith. We do not understand how to come to hadith. And we just quote hadith. Mostly tarjumah, not even the Arabic. Even if we quote in the Arabic, if you haven't studied the usul, in any case it makes no sense. The beauty of Islam is the individual practice of personal piety. Believe me, my brothers, the reason I'm mentioning this is because today we live in this world where you have courses after courses are being announced. This course on usul of fiqh. Who can attend? Anybody who can pay the fees. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. I have many friends who are in the modern, the internet dawah and all these modern conferences and whatever else and so forth. And I also go and attend some of this and I speak at some of those. Somebody once asked me, why do you go there if you have so many doubts? I said, I go there to see what's going on. And also someone somewhere should say something, what needs to be said. So I go. But my point is this, that people announce course after course, this course, that course, that course. And what is the qualification? Pay the fees. Since when is it a qualification that as long as you can pay that $20 or $50 or the number of dollars is, that suddenly you can sit in a class and you who do not know the hadith are now discussing the intricacies of the usul of hadith without any basis? How is this beneficial? Courses, and I've even gone and sat in a couple of courses and I left midway, and then afterwards we had a long discussion with the teacher, and alhamdulillah, and he seems to have understood, but the issue of fiqh, usul of fiqh. And he's talking about how do you arrive at something which is halal and haram. Now you're teaching usul of fiqh to someone who has no basis and no tarbiyah in taqwa. Nothing. They may be good people. I'm not saying they are shaitan, they are not shaitan, they are good people. But every specialized knowledge needs some foundational knowledge. And just because you understand a language does not mean that you can understand the specialized knowledge. You can't say because I understand English or I know English, I'm going to read a book on surgery and after that Mr. Yavar Bek, please come and lie down here and give me a knife and I will perform some surgery on you because I just read this book on surgery. I said, you're crazy. What do you mean to read a book on surgery? Did you ever go to medical school? Did you ever qualify? Did you study under, within quotes, medical shuyukh? Today you ask somebody, you ask somebody, you know, who's your sheikh? Under whom did you study? He said, excuse me. Who told you that I have to go and study under some teacher? The Quran is easy, my brother. The Quran is easy. Allah says, yes, sir, Quran is easy. Meaning of yes, sir, Quran? Pick it up and you do whatever you want and you read it and you take one ayah from here and you pass one istanbul or hakam without anything. Just extract the ruling and then pass the judgment. That's the meaning of easy. Someone asked me in Australia. I told them, I said, yes, I agree with you. If Allah says Quran is easy, I can't say it is difficult. But I said, let me explain to you what is the meaning of Quran is easy. The person who asked me a question was a doctor. So I asked him, I said, when did you start going to school? Good Indian Pakistani tradition, started going to school at the age of 2.5. Play school. I said, right? 2.5 you went to school. Then what? 2.5 to the age of 5 he was in play school and pre-primary and so forth. Class 1 in 12 years. That's how many years now? 12 plus 3.5, 15 years. At the end of 15 years, what is he? He has passed high school. After 15 years, he passed high school. Then what? Then he does 3 years of BSc. Then he does five years of medicine, MBBS. What is an MBBS fit to do? In my country, he is fit to drive a taxi. Because we graduate like 500,000 MBBS a year. So he's fit to drive a taxi cab. So then what does he do? Then he does 2 years of house surgeonship. By now, how many years have we done now? 15 plus 3, 18 plus 5 is how many? 23 plus 2 years of house surgeonship, 25 plus 2 years specialization, 27 years of learning, 24 hours full time. And then what does he get? He gets an entry level job in a hospital. He's still not a consultant surgeon. To become a consultant surgeon, he's still got another 10 years to go. I said, that is dunya. Compared to that dunya, this deen is easy. But if you think that this deen, Quran is easy, means I can pick it up today and from tomorrow morning I start passing judgment, sorry. Doesn't work like that. So the maqsad of understanding, saying all of this is because today, let us not get into this thing of thinking that the deen is so easy that anybody can learn it anyway. We have to make some effort in this deen. We have to make the effort in the deen, and the effort starts with ourselves. Individual purpose. Fulfilling the individual purpose. Working on our own iman. Working on our own taqwa. Working on fulfilling the ahkam of Islam as they apply to ourselves. And then going from there into giving the da'wah of Islam to the people in the best possible manner by doing things which bring about goodness in all of society. The things together this thing creates a situation where inshallah when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be counted among those who fulfilled the purpose of our creation. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it possible for us to be counted among those who he considers to have fulfilled the purpose of his creation. Because my brothers and sisters, that which does not fulfill its purpose is trash, it's garbage. If this light stops working, if it does not give illumination anymore, what will you do? You will throw it. Why? Because it stopped fulfilling its purpose. And that's the reason why it's essential for us to continue to work in order that we fulfill our purpose. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us, to be pleased with all of you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to fulfill the purpose for which he created us, to make this easy for us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to fulfill our fara'id, to live our lives according to the blessed sunnah of his messenger Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this life full of barakah and full of khair for all of you and all of your families. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that on the day when he takes us, that he shows us the meaning of this ayah, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِ اللَّهُ تُبْصِرُونَ. Because the one for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aqrab, insha'Allah al-musta'an is a man of the Jannah, insha'Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who will be entered into his Jannah by his raham and by his karam and bi ghayri hisab. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.